morning, the trespass, that's talking about the fall, the trespass and the gift. And we read from Genesis 3, 1 through 19 and from Romans 5, 12 through 17. So we won't read that again, but this morning I want to speak about the account in Scripture that deals with the fall of man. And regarding this passage, or reading this passage, provides a good background to our text. And if you'd like to take your Bibles and keep it open to our text, that would be a good thing to do, which is found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Romans 5, verse 15. And it reads as follows. Andrew read it, but we'll read it again. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Well, let us consider at this time some thoughts that arise out of this text. Dear friends, it would be an absolute understatement to say that many great evils have come to us as a result of the fall. But I've often noticed in Scripture that serious matters seem to be spoken of in very few words and not expanded on in great detail. For example, the punishment that Peter and others suffered, there's no great explanation about the whippings and the bleeding and the pain and that would have gone on for a long time, or the crucifixion of Christ. It doesn't go into great detail about his suffering as he was nailed to a cross and as he bled out over many hours and as he died a terrible and agonizing death. It doesn't give us a great deal of it, of detail. But the truth is that many great evils have come to us as a result of the fall. Paul speaks of this in our text in verse 15. He speaks of the trespass, by which he means the fall that resulted from the sin of our father Adam. He says, many died. Well, friends, what a tremendous understatement that is. Many died through one man's trespass. He says again, by the trespass of one man, death reigned. And truly, friends, it did. It reigned from that time until this present time. Now, I'm not going to spend an expansive amount of time in detailing the particulars, but I do want us to pause for a few minutes and, friends, to reflect upon that which we have lost. We don't think about it too often because life, as we now know, it seems to be so ordinary. It's what we've come to expect. But my land, have we lost a great deal. Friends, we've lost the Garden of Eden with all of its pleasures and privileges and protections. The Garden of Eden provided a place of personal communion with God, the glorious opportunity to talk with Him as a friend talks with a friend in the cool of the day. The Garden of Eden provided a beautiful, safe, and bounteous home for the first human couple. Think of this, it provided perfect health, perfect safety, adequate, absolutely perfect provision, perfect fellowship, and freedom from death. Everything about it was good. It was good from God's perspective because God's own assessment of it was that it was very good. But friends, this is far from all that we have lost. We have lost our innocence. We have lost our purity. We have lost our health. And in its place, we have become the victims of pain and weakness and suffering and death. This is the effect of the fall. A desert now howls where otherwise a garden would have beckoned. Through the sin of Adam, we've been born in conditions that are far from desirable. And we're heirs as we get older. We feel this more and more as those that we have loved in this life pass away. We are heirs to a heritage of sorrow. Our griefs have been alleviated by the mercy and compassion and grace and love of God. But still, friends, we have been born into a fallen world that is far, far different from what it might have been if Adam had resisted sin and remained innocent. Because of his sin, we've been born into a world that has a bias toward evil. And those of us who have any knowledge of our own nature must confess that there is within us a strong tendency to sin, and that it's blended right into our very being. This tendency is not derived solely from faults in our education, or because we've witnessed or seen evil in others and imitated it, but because there is a bent within us often to move in the wrong direction. And this has been with us from birth. We are, as the scripture declares, by nature, children of wrath. Well, alas, that it should be so, but it is. In addition to having this tendency to sin, we've been altered by the fall so that we inevitably grow old and die. Every single one of us here today will surely bow our heads beneath the fatal stroke of death. Only two human beings in the entire history of our race have escaped death, with all the rest leaving their bodies to decay back into Mother Earth. Unless the Lord comes soon, we can expect that the same thing will happen to these bodies of ours. Only a few short years ago, the older folk in this church were young and strong. In a few short years, some of them will be gone. And in a few short years after that, those who are now young will be old and frail, and they too will pass from this life. Such is the nature of life since the fall. Paul says, many died through one man's trespass. And how true that is. I've been preaching on and off, probably on an annual basis or so, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, at this church since the early 1980s. What's that, 40 years ago? Many of the people that I knew back then are no longer here. They've gone to be with the Lord. Such is the effect of the fall. Because of the fall, many unborn children do not survive even to birth. Some mothers die in the process of giving life. We are all born with pain and tears. We live with illness and sadness. We cannot escape crime or brutality or wars or pandemics. Look at you with masks on your faces right now. We live in a time of sadness, and we know that unless the Lord returns, each one of us will return to dust. We will return back to what we were. We toil in order to provide for our basic needs, and then even for those who toil in some places across the earth, there's massive starvation and suffering and death. Many have died. because of one man's trespass. My brothers and sisters, Adam did a very sad day's work for us when he listened to the voice of his wife, who had listened to the voice of the serpent instead of listening to the voice of God, and ate of the forbidden fruit. Paradise was lost, not to be found anywhere on earth at all, and replaced by a place of hardship, wailing, sickness, bereavement, and death. Let me ask you the question, where can we go where we will not find traces of Adam's fall? Every field is scattered with the dust of the departed. In fact, we breathe that dust in ourselves. Every wave of the sea is tainted with atoms from the dead. Sin has scarred and marred and spoiled this creation. Terrible evils have come upon us by an act that we had no part in. We were not in the Garden of Eden. We did not incite Adam to rebellion. And yet we've become sufferers through no deed of our own. Say what you may about this, the fact remains and cannot be escaped from. Well, this sad truth leads me to the heart of our text and constitutes my second point coming up here, which I hope, if I've saddened you by the first point, I will encourage you by the second. Dear friends, it's true that we've lost a great deal in the fall of Adam, but that is not the end of the story. What we have lost in Adam, we have more than gained back in Jesus Christ. If all of this pain and mischief and suffering has happened as a result of the fall of Adam, why then shouldn't there be immeasurable blessings that flow out of the work of Christ? Through Adam's transgression, paradise was lost. That's a certainty. But if anything can be more certain, it is that the second Adam, Jesus Christ, will restore the ruin of the first. Listen to the text. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Well, friends, be sure that the fall of Adam has done us great harm, but then even be more sure that the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in which, again, we played no part, has done us great good. Just as we had no part in the sin of Adam, so we had no part in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of his own accord, came to earth as the Lamb of God to freely offer his life. Such was his love for us, in order that the trespass of Adam might be lifted from us, and so that our fellowship with God could be restored. Dear friends, this is wonderful. It's God's doing from beginning to end. He wisely determined that the entire human race should be regarded as one in Adam. At first thought, when you think of this, it seems rather brutal. And so when Adam fell, we all fell in him. But he also determined that the entire human race should be regarded as one in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, this is so rich in mercy. Now, I'm not suggesting that God will save every person without exception, but I am saying that because of the work of Jesus Christ, the sin of Adam has been more than dealt with for those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Our text says, "For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." I want you to know that I cannot imagine the angel saying, "Well, Christ has been born. Christ has lived among men. Christ has died. These people had no part in it. Will God save them for the sake of his son?" I can't imagine them saying that. No, my friends, they must have felt as they saw Jesus in the manger, as they saw him living a perfect life and dying his atoning death, they must have thought this: God will surely bless those who are in Christ. God will bless them for Christ's sake, for what he has done for them. As for ourselves, we can be sure that if the Lord executes judgment, in which he takes no pleasure, he will certainly carry out mercy, in which he delights. If he kept to the representative principle when it involved consequences, which gave him no pleasure, we can be assured that he will keep to it now that it involves rewards. That's the argument of our text. "For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Dear friends, this assurance becomes even stronger when we contrast the sin of a man, Adam, with the death of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It seems possible that after Adam had sinned, God could have said something like this: "Well, I understand that he is human. I understand that he's frail. I will not lay the burden of Adam's sin upon all of the descendants of Adam." But it doesn't seem possible to me at all that after the eternal Son of God became a man, and after he willingly bowed his head in death, that God could say, "Even after all my Son has done, I will not save humanity for his sake." My friends, look at the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross and see his wounds, and you will become absolutely certain that sin can be pardoned. No, more than that, that it must be pardoned for those who are in Jesus Christ. If the voice of Abel crying from the ground was heard by Almighty God, how much more the blood of the only begotten Son of God, who freely offered himself without spot? My friends, it's not possible that God would reject or forget the sacrifice of Calvary. Grace must flow to sinners through the suffering Savior, seeing that death came to humanity through their ancestor Adam. Now, I want you to know that I really do not feel that I can get right down to the heart of this text. It's just too deep, and it's too beautiful to get to the very bottom of it. But, dear friends, meditate on these sweet thoughts. The sin which destroyed us was the error of a mere mortal, but the grace that saves us comes from the infinite, almighty, omnipotent, loving God. Adam sinned in a moment without reflection, but our salvation rests in the everlasting purpose and plan of Almighty God. Jesus is spoken of as the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. If Adam's sin results in a flood which drowns the world in sorrow and death, how can we possibly measure the boundless blessings poured out to us from the infinite source of grace? The grace of God is like His nature. It is all-powerful and unlimited. God is gracious beyond measure. We read of the exceeding riches of His grace. He is the God of all grace, and His mercy is great above the heavens. Our very largest conceptions of His love and mercy fall very far short, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts above our thoughts in the direction of His grace to us. Well, dear friends, if then the sin of Adam produced enough poisonous water to kill billions of humans, how much more shall the river of God, which proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, supply us with utter happiness, and that to every single person who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ? Paul states, "For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." Well, that's the argument of the text, and it seems very powerful to me, powerful enough to enable every human to say, "Well, I've come to understand what I've lost in Adam, but I also see how much more I have gained through Jesus Christ my Lord, as I humbly yield my life to Him." The truth is, dear friends, that each one of us have gained so much more than we've lost. The Lord Jesus Christ has finished His work by which His people are saved, and that work has been certified by His resurrection from the dead. There are no ifs in the covenant now. You won't find them. There are no ifs in the covenant now. There's not a single maybe in it from beginning to end. There are no chances that it will fail. No chances at all. Listen to these various texts in Scripture. "He that believes and is baptized may be saved." No. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes in Him may have." No. "Has." "He that believes in Him has everlasting life. There is therefore now no condemnation." Not a little bit. "There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." My friends, we've obtained a surer standing than we could have under the first Adam. Our Lord has not only undone the evil of the fall, but He's given us more than we have lost. Even as the psalmist says, "Then I restored that which I took not away." Do you understand that? Because of Adam's sin, we became subject to death, as God warned, "In that day that you eat of it, you will surely die. But in Christ, we live again with a higher and a nobler life, for our new life is as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're sustained by the person of the Lord Jesus, which is better yet than the innocence of the Garden of Eden. No other created being equals Christians. We rise above even the angels who've never sinned, for in us the riches of the glory and grace of God is clearly seen, more so than certainly in the unfallen spirits." Dear friends, hasn't the Lord Jesus Christ done so much for us? And shouldn't we expect that this is the way that it should be, for the grace of God and the gift of the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, are infinitely stronger forces than Adam's sin. Okay, think about what we've lost and what we've gained. We've lost paradise, the Garden of Eden, but we shall possess that of which the earthly garden was just a very humble type in heaven. We might have eaten of the delicious fruits of Eden, but now we will eat of the bread of life which came down from heaven. We might have heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, but now, like Enoch, we will walk with God in His presence throughout eternity. We have ultimately gained more than we lost. Praise be to God. And perhaps over the course of this week, you might like to read these passages again and with humble hearts express your thanks to God for sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who more than makes up for all of the chaos and evil that Adam brought upon us and gives us a history, a future that is far more glorious yet. Praise be to Him.